Reading from Bhajan Rahasyam began yesterday. This is Panchmayam Sadhana. We began text 18, wherein Raghunath Das Goswami conveys his soul attachment to serving Radharani and Vilap Kusumanjali. And remember, of course, that Raghunath Das Goswami is Prayojana Acharya. He was ordered by Lord Chaitanya to establish the actual necessity. What is the actual necessity of the living entities in Kali Yuga? What is the supreme necessity of the Atma? And what is Prayojana means necessity. It means the need, it means the goal, it means the culmination, it means the final point, it means the purpose behind it all. So this seva has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raghunath Das Goswami. So he is revealing that necessity or that prayojana, that ultimate goal for the human beings in this age of Kali, in the age of Rasaraj Mahabhav, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the ultimate necessity is become a servitor of Radharani, or at least entertain the idea. One may be fixed in another particular sthaibhav, but due to his own predilection or choice or personal attraction, he may also come into the fold of Brajabhav, even if he's destined to go to Vaikuntha. He may come into the fold of Brajabhav and receive a suitable Sudadeha, a spiritual body, to serve Radharani in the divine kingdom of Brajagokul, as per the divine arrangement of the Lord, and forfeit, so to speak, forfeit his predetermined or destined Siddhadeha, or also get that, because a jiva can have multiple Siddhadehas per his desire and the arrangement of the Lord. So it's not, there's no limitation on this level of prema, although sometimes one thinks that way. And even Prabhupada mentions that. He's asked that question, can a living entity change his ras? And Prabhupada said, yes, it can be. It doesn't happen so often, but it can be done. He's there. So this is a fact. So Lord Chaitanya and his servants, especially Raghunath Das, they're broadcasting, they're beating the drum loud, very loudly. Rupa Goswami is beating the drum. And Krishna's Kaviraj, and Raghunath Das Goswami, and Vishwanath, and all practically all our acharyas. There's one letter Srila Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, I have a question. Are all the devotees, are all the gurus in our parampara, are they all mandris, sakhi mandris? And Prabhupada wrote back, it's in the letters, you can see on folio. Prabhupada wrote back, yes, for the most part. All of the acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya are sakhi mandris. Most of the gurus and the Gaudiya Sampradaya are Sakhi Mandris, but not all, but most. Bhakti Sananta, Jagannath Das, Gaurakishore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, etc. So, we were discussing this rather long verse about the, in this particular verse from Vilap Kusumanjali, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's praying, O Radharani, I offer all obeisances to becoming your Sakhi. If you were to say, oh, why don't you be one of my Sakhis? My Ashta Sakhis are so intimate with me, they're so friendly with me. I'm always confiding in them, they're always standing so close to me. Lalita and Vishakha is always by my shoulder, and Lalita is right there with Krishna. We move so many places together. You can have this privileged position of being my Sakhi. And then Rati Mandri, Raghunath Das Goswami, with folded hands and all humility, he offers his prayer and he says, O Swamini, O Srimati Radhika, I offer obeisances to that opportunity, but I'm really quite satisfied just situated, stationed at this lowly place. Let me be stationed at this lowly place, sitting at the ground at your feet, humbly massaging your feet and washing your feet and then drying your feet with my hair. I'm satisfied with that. I simply want to be your servant or even a servant of your maidservants. I'm not aspiring for any big post, GBC or temple commander or anything like this. I just want this small position. And then we are starting to hear about, although on one level it looks like the mandris are somewhat not so famous or recognized, but actually their intimacy, their seva, their intimacy of service, they're much more intimate and can do in very private and sensitive settings, The Mandris, who are a category of Sakis known as Pran Sakis or Nitya Sakis, they are much more intimate than even the Asta Sakis or the Nayakas, like Lalita and Vishaka. So as far as service, maybe position, rank, name and fame, position and rank, the Asta Sakis, the Sakis, the actual personal friends, the contemporaries of Radharani that are the same age as her, or rather as she, and Lalita Sakhi, who is 27 days older than Radharani, so they're a little bit older, or maybe the same age, they are so much like contemporaries. So usually someone would think, oh, I could move like his friend. I'm just a servant in the house, and I can't move in the same circle or in the same ways that he moves or she moves with her friends because I'm younger and I'm a little smaller and I don't have that. I'm not in the same graduating class. Like in high school or in college, usually same people in the same class, they move together. You don't usually associate. If you're in eighth grade, you don't move around with a fifth grader. Somebody in fifth grade or like if your brother is 10 and you're 18, usually you move around with 18-year-olders or whatever, even older. But you don't move around with your 10-year-old brother. It looks a little funny or you feel a little funny. So the Mandris are, of course, only a couple of years younger than Radharani. But this is what's behind this prayer. He's saying, I don't aspire for all that. I'm so happy and just to be just your humble servant, which we find from what we heard yesterday is quite an extremely fortunate position. That even Krishna, God himself, he fails to attain Radharani's sangha or association by approaching the sakis like Lalita Vishaka when Radharani is upset. But when he goes to the Mandris, then they help him and they have more power. In this case, the Mandris, Radharani's maidservants, have more power to influence Radharani's mind and heart than even the sakis, because she so much listens to them and feels empathy with them that when they come, when they approach Radharani on behalf of Krishna, then Radharani lends an ear. She feels a little inclined. All right, well, if Rupa Mandri is saying something good about that black man, if Rati Mandri is saying something good about that rascal, then maybe I should listen. But if Lita Sakhi or Vishaka or Chitra Sakhi comes in and says, oh, Radharani, listen, that, you know, Shyam is really feeling repentive. He's very, very sorrowful for his misdeeds, his misbehavior. Huh? Get out. What, you've been paid off by him? What, he gave you a big box of sweets to come in here and speak on his behalf? Get out from here, Chitra. What is this? He bribed you? You're some minister in the Indian government? Give a little money and you'll do anything for this person? No, get out from here. I can see you've been bought out by him. She's very hard with her sakis. But the Mandris, they come in and say, they don't come in and immediately speak. They come in, they rub Radharani's feet and very gently, and all that heat, Radharani's body is burning, and it's Viraha Agni. She's very, very fiery mind, fiery temper, and her whole body is on fire. And when the Mandris, because they say cool hands, warm heart, so the Mandris have very cooling hands, like Chandan. So when the Mandris start massaging Radharani's feet and squeezing them, they can feel, oh, how her feet are on fire. She has a hot foot. They had something called hot foot. They play a game sometimes. Put a match in somebody's shoe and it gets hot foot. So her feet are so hot. But what they do is they absorb all that heat. They take all that heat, just like sometimes these Reiki healers or these type of healers, they heal somebody, but then they take on the sickness if they're not very powerful. Or they don't know how to throw it off or whatever. And they may even become sick, transfer that sickness to themselves. So the Mandris, they absorb all that heat from Radharani's feet and they feel like, wow, she's really hot. Really, really hot. So they keep massaging and squeezing. They're drawing all the heat out of Radharani's body through their cooling, loving hands. And they're taking on that heat. Then they can actually measure her temperature. Just like sometimes you put your hand on someone's forehead, you have a fever. You know, where they put, without even putting thermometer in your mouth, they can feel your forehead and say, oh, you have a hot head. So the Mandris, when they're massaging Radharani's feet, they can feel that her feet are getting cooler and cooler and cooler, which means that Radharani is relaxing. She's cooling down. Sometimes we have phrases like that, husbands and wives. The husband gets too hot, says a lot of hot words, and the wife says, cool down, cool down. The Mandris have the ability to cool down Radharani. They cool her down. And then when she's cool, then they say, Swamini? They say, or Kishori? Or they say like this, they say, Priyaji. And then she says, yes. Now she's in a relaxed mood. Do you know there's one very, very, very sweet boy sitting in a kunj by the Yamuna? And then Radharani says, yes. And he's very adorable, and he's so... If you just would just look at him for 1 second, you would forget everything in this world. Name, fame, shame, everything. Yes. And he has so many beautiful names describing all his wonderful variegated pastimes. Oh, well, who? Yes, yes, Mandri. Oh, yes, Saki. And who are you? Who are you talking about? Well, this person. And gradually she starts to introduce this person. When Radharani's in a soothing, or let's say a receptive mood, and then in this way the Mandri, she gradually mollifies Radharani's man and brings her to a point of accepting again Krishna's association. So Mandris are very expert at this. So this is a speciality that the Mandris have. So I think we heard last night about how the Mandris, sometimes they're serving in Krishna's house in Nandagaon in the evening. Radharani's not there. But they're serving, and Krishna's very restless to know where the Sanket Kunj. Sanket means a signal. Sanket means signal or appointed or designated. It can be many. It's not only just one place. It's any kunja which is pre-appointed, you could say, or pre-assigned. It's called Sanket Kunj, although sometimes there's specific kunjas they also call Sankhi. But Krishna's not knowing, and the gopis have just, these mandris have left Radharani in the afternoon in Yavat, in the early evening time, and they've come to Nandagaon to serve Krishna his evening repast, his meal. And then they know very well where Radharani will go that night on Abhisar, on love journey to meet Krishna. But Krishna doesn't know. Like, for example, some girlfriends might get together and say, let's have a party here or there. So then they know where the party is, but the boyfriends don't know. So whatever boyfriends want to be informed, you have to inform them somehow or other. Oh, tonight, this house, or this apartment, NVT, or whatever. Whatever goes on. The young people know better than me. But then they have to make some appointment. Okay, meet here or there. So Krishna, he doesn't know. He's a Nandagaon. He came back with the cows. He briefly saw Radharani in the footpath. He milked the cows. He bathed in Pavan Sarovara. He wrestled around a little bit. Took a bath. Again, he would take another bath after Pavan Sarovara because that's too much a playful bath. He takes another more formal bath in the palace with proper oils and all these things. And then gets dressed. And then he goes and has his dinner. And he's thinking. His mind is racing. His mind is racing, but he doesn't know where to race. Where will I meet her? Where will I see her? When? Where? I have to see her tonight, but Vrindavan's a big place. And where? What place? What kunja has she? What place has she chosen? It's lady's choice. Lady's night. It's her choice. And I don't know. I'm uninformed. No one has told me. No parrots have told me. Daksha Vichakshana. My pet parrots have no... They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. It hasn't been indicated. So the indication... Sanket means indication. The indication, the appointed kunj. So then when the mandris are serving, it says, which is mentioned here, through subtle gestures, they, because Krishna will look at them when they're serving, Sadam Krishna will look at them, and in his eyes he'll say, am I going to meet Swamini? Am I going to meet Kishori tonight? And then the mandris are serving, and they do one of these Indian things, or move their head like this, or whatever, or they just move an eyebrow, yes, you will meet. You will meet your beloved tonight. Oh, that's good. That's reassuring. Then the next question is, well, where? Because sometimes Radharani is grounded, as they say. She's locked in her house in Yavat by her mother-in-law, and she can't get out, and she can't meet Krishna. So then Krishna has no chance. he won't meet Radharani. It's not a question of where. When the Mantri indicates yes, you will meet, then his next question he conveys with his eyes is, well, where? Where will I meet her? And then through subtle gestures, or sometimes even by when Krishna will be eating, as I mentioned the other day, and he's eating with one hand, he puts one hand sometimes on the floor, only for this purpose, otherwise it's not recommended for health. He puts his hand on the floor, then the Mantri walks by, and then she with her toe, she steps on one of his fingers. Right? So, it's already been told that this finger means Govardhan, this finger means Radhakund, this finger means Vamshivat, this finger means Varsana, this finger means Gevarvan. It's like in sign language. These people that are deaf and dumb, they speak by moving the hands. There's actually universal sign language. This means yoga, and they have all these different things they do in sign language. But it's still the same all around the world, called sign. Movements of the hand indicate words and concepts and things like that. So in the same way, this is called sign language. This is prem sign language. So the mantri will be walking, no one sees. Because Yashoda, Rohini, Ambika, Kalimba, all the different nurses and mothers, they're simply looking at Krishna and Balaram, and Nanda's there, and everyone's watching, and no one's really paying attention to what the mantris are doing. They're just making sure they're serving everything hot and in proper sequence and to Krishna's liking. And then when they come by and they step on his index finger, yeah, you'll meet at Radhakund. It's Bahulastami. You meet at Radhakund. And he says, TK. So this is some of the wonderful services they do to... This is a form of duty. Duty or means message, duty. Now it's describing some of the some more points in this verse, the philosophy. It says, the kamatmika bhakti of braja, which is exclusive to Madhurya Ras, is of two kinds. This devotion or bhakti, this is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's called kamatmika. That their atma means their bodies, the bodies of the, specifically the gopis. The gopis, their bodies, their hearts, their minds, their desires, they're so intense. They're so intense and concentrated and condensed on one point. They're so dedicated with such an intensity, such a deep, strong intensity to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, that the only word in Sanskrit that conveys this concentrated effort and intensity of the gopis to please and satisfy and serve Krishna is calm. So they call it calm atmika bhakti. They can just call it gopi bhakti, gopika bhakti, raja bhakti, and sometimes that term is also used. And that's also okay. But when they want to be very specific, they use this term. Of course, it shouldn't be... And the reason they use this term, calm atmika bhakti, is that generally, Sanskritists, or those that understand the language, they understand how all-encompassing Atma, the word Atma is, or Atmika. And then the word Kam indicates this intensity, because everyone has some familiarity from our frame of reference. Our frame of reference is our world of experience, what we know. What we know, what we've known, what we've seen, what we've felt, what we've what we've seen, what we've felt, what we know, what we've known, and what we desire. So everyone has some basic idea of what is kam. Kam is described as lust, or intense desire. So from our viewpoint, from the subjective viewpoint of the enjoyer, then the word kam means kamadev, the god of love, the god of lust, and we all know what it means to be impaled on the end, the tips of the arrows of Cupid, and to be under the control of Cupid, or lust, or the inciting lust. And the five arrows, there's called Panchabana. There's five arrows of the god of love, or the god of lust, Kandarpa. It's called Panchabanai, five arrows. And they're represented by rupam, form, and taste. We become lusty after forms, we become lusty after taste, lusty after sense of touch, or after sound, after smell. These are the five objects. We We become very lusty, intensely lusty to touch, eat, and taste, hear, etc. And these five arrows represent five qualities also. So the five qualities of the arrows of Cupid, one is infatuation, and the other is burning, infatuation, burning, and then madness. So these five arrows, first one becomes infatuated. Infatuation means possessed by. I must have it. I'm very much attracted and enchanted by it. I'm infatuated. Then I start burning because of that infatuation. And then the next, that burning. I'm just burning. I just can't. I'm going crazy. Like we say, burning in lust or whatever. And then there's maddening. You go mad. So these are Cupid is like this. So that concept, that experience, that's in the gopis. They're infatuated, and they're burning, they're mad, but all of that is directed towards one. The madness, the calm, the desire, the intensity, excitement is all directed towards the pleasure and satisfaction and service of Krishna. This is the difference between transcendental lust and material lust. Whereas we have this experience in the material aspect, but all that lust is directed towards me getting satisfaction and pleasure for me and my senses and my body. I am lusty for me. I am mad for me. I am infatuated for me. I am burning for me. But they're burning for Krishna. So this is why this term is used about the gopis, who their prema is called Vishuddha, Vishuddha prema, the topmost Vishesh Shuddha. Vishesh means a very special kind of purity. Shuddha means purity. Vishuddha prema. Their prema is Vishuddha. And it's called Niropadi. Niropadi prema. There's no designations, there's nothing, no mixture. So the Kamatmika Bhakti of Braja, which is exclusive to Madhurya Rasa, is of two kinds. Sambhog Ichamai and Tad Bhava Ichami. Icha means desire. Ichamai. Ichamai means full of desire to sambhog, to enjoy. And the other one is tat-tad bhav ichamai, means full of icha, desire to experience the bhava, the feelings. So there's a difference. So the gopis like Lalita Vishakha, they're called sambhog ichamai. That they have an intense desire to serve Krishna and please Him, but to offer their bodies personally for His pleasure. Sambhog. Sambhog actually means enjoying together. Sambhog. Enjoying together, and the highest meaning, it means union. So the sakis, the nayakas, like Lita and Asha sakis, they offer their bodies directly, full, their whole bodies for Krishna's pleasure. And tat-tat bhavichamayi, or bhavicha atmika, let's go. Bhavichamayi. This is generally, this bhava is related to the mandaris. That their desire is simply to enhance the bhavas, the pleasure, the mellow of love between Radha and Krishna, and especially Radharani. They're both sakis, they're both involved in Madhurya Ras, they're both involved in the union of Krishna and Radha. The sakis will bring Radha and Krishna together, and sometimes they will also be together with Krishna, union. But the mandaris, they will bring Radha and Krishna together, and that will be their fulfillment, that will be their satisfaction. They'll simply relish the bhavas that Radha and Krishna experience when they come together. The Madhurya Rasa that the Braja Yukteswaris, or group leaders such as Radha, Chandravali, and Shyamala have towards Krishna, is called Sambhog Ichamai. Serving the divine couple in the mood of mandaris like Sri Rupa and Sri Rati, whose inclination is towards Srimati Radhika, Radha Sneha Adhika. Adhika means extra, or additional, or more, increased, like Adhika Mas, extra month. They have extra sneha, affection, or affection towards Radha. That's called tat-tad bhava ichami. And this is, it gets a little technical, but it says the sakis are of three kinds. Radha sneha adhika, which means more sneha towards Radha. And then Krishna sneha adhika, they are more inclined towards Krishna than, now this is sometimes used, there's different phrases that say this, but this purport is saying ubaya sneha adhika. And generally it's called sama sneha adhika. Sama means equal. Here it says ubaya. But sama sneha adhika means they have equal, some sakis have equal affection to Radha and Krishna. And then there's five types of sakis. This is all explained in Ujjvala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami. There are sakis, nitya saki, pran saki, priya saki, and priyanarma saki. Nitya sakis and pran sakis are Radha sneha adhika. They have more affection for Radha than Krishna. And they are called manjaris. The manjaris are absorbed in the mood of service, even though they feel friendship, sakya, for Radha. In other words, they're a saki. Saki means friend. So they're female, and they're friends. They're female friends, they're sakis. So they're, but they're a particular type of saki, is that their pran, their life and soul, is Radharani. So they're called pran saki. So they're servants, so they're Radharani's servants, but they're also her friends. The manjaris remain exclusively intent on Sri Radha's lotus feet, and they do not desire bodily contact with Sri Krishna, even in their dreams. This is confirmed by Prabhupada Saraswati in Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Ananya Sri Radha Pada Kamala Dais Dasyaika Rasadir Hare Sange Ranga Swapana Samaye Napi Dharati. Single-pointed service to the lotus feet of Sri Radha is an ocean of transcendental rasa. One who wishes to enter that ocean will never desire enjoyment with Sri Hari, even in dreams. So the object of the Mandri's love and affection is Sri Yugal Kishore. So their love and affection is for Radha and Krishna, but their main line of service is drawn to Radharani. Sometimes people get confused about this point. The manjaris experience all kinds of rati, or love, by seeing the divine couple embracing, by hearing their conversation, by tasting their chewed tambal remnants, and by smelling the matchlessly beautiful fragrance arising from their amorous pastimes, by touching Radha and Krishna's lotus feet as they massage them, and so forth. So this is called tat. Tad bhava ichami. One who has a desire to experience or relish the bhavas of just serving Radharani and relishing the bhavas that she experiences when she enjoys with Krishna or she's offering herself to Krishna. That's the manjaris. There are sakhi and there are pransakhi and there are manjaris with this particular bhava. But the sakhis, like the group leaders, like Lita Vishaka, etc., it's called Juteshwari, they have sambhoga ichami. They also desire that Radharani enjoys with Krishna, but sometimes Krishna desires to enjoy them, because they are actually just expansions of Radharani directly, Lalita Vishaka. So then they're agreeable. They say, yes, as you like, Krishna, we'll offer ourselves. Because their mood, generally the mood of the sakis, these type of sakis, nayakas, or who are in sambhog ichamayi, their mood is, Samasneya Adhika. Samasneya Adhika means they have equal affection for Radha and Krishna. Or, that's some of these sakis, and some have Krishna Sneya Adhika. They love Radharani, they serve Radharani, they help Radharani and Krishna come together. But Krishna Sneya Adhika means they have more affection for Krishna than Radharani. It's a little hard to understand, actually. Because it's like, I love you so much, and I love your brother even more, but I love both of you. It's like they love, so much love and affection is there. And because their line is drawn a little bit more towards Krishna, then they don't have any trouble offering themselves for Krishna's pleasure. In dreams, it's called swapna vilas, or even externally. So there's some slight difference here. So this purport, which is taken from Ujjalin Lamani, is trying to show the position of the manjaris. They're sakis, they're intimate, they're in Madhurya Ras, they experience the rasa. Otherwise, it's not Madhurya Ras. And they have to experience it. Ras means something astonishing, something that must be tasted, must be experienced. That's rasa. So they're part of it. But from a particular angle of vision, particular angle of enjoyment. And that's their mind, their mentality and their heart is positioned in a unique position. And that's why they're called manjaris. Special category of Saki. And you see that it gets quite technical. I mean, it gets quite amazing that when Radharani and Krishna are embracing, and Radharani is feeling some thrill or whatever she's experiencing with Krishna, the mantris feel the same thing on their bodies. I know in the Christian tradition, they have these, I forget what they're called just now, but some people, they so much identify with this last teaching of Jesus about the crucifixion. What's it called? Stigma? Stigmatis. So they these personalities, these some type of Christian saintly mystics of some sort. I don't know all about it so much. It's been a long time since I remember hearing about it. I was about 12 years old or something. And they're so much identifying with this particular pastime of Lord Jesus and his teaching the people of the crucifixion that they identify and they cry and they feel so much sorrow for Lord Jesus, and they feel so much repentive of themselves, and they're meditating on this Leela and how he gave up his body for all the people and suffered on the cross, that in their hands and feet, blood starts coming out of their hands and feet as if they themselves were being crucified. They become one. They become one with the crucifixion. Stigma means it's even a word in English called stigma, where you just get so much one with it. We call it tadatmika, that your atma becomes one with the other. So this is something like the mandris to some extent, is that they're actually there, they're not remembering something that happened in the past and identifying with something that happened in the past. But the mandris are right there with Radha and Krishna in live time, eternal time, in the spiritual world, in Siddhadeya. And when Krishna kisses Radharani and embraces her, or maybe even makes some mark on her neck or bites her neck, and this is all transcendental, remember, and spiritual, then the mandris have the same experiences on their bodies. They feel the thrill, and even if the mandri has been sent to, say, Jamuna to pick some very special rare flowers that are growing on this side, the Jamuna. And then Radharani is supposed to come out. That day she is supposed to leave Yavat and come to Radhakund. And for some reason, Jatila, her mother-in-law, decides, no, I don't want you to go to do Surya Puja today. I want you to stay home. You put that tray down. You're not going out. Now the Mandri has been down to Yamuna picking very special Jabba flowers, because there's a Jabba grove there, red flowers, to bring to Suryakund, bring to Radhakund, then the Suryakund for Radharani Surya Puja. And as soon as Radharani here's the news that she can't leave the house in Yavat and meet her beloved Krishna at Radhakund. And at midday, Madhyan Leela, she starts crying. She goes to her room. She says, oh, I can't meet Shama. Oh, it's so unfortunate. She starts crying and wailing and separation, very much pain in the heart. And the Mandri is 40 kilometers away in the Muna bank picking Jabba flowers, and she starts breaking out. She starts crying. Sometimes they have this phenomenon also with twins. Yeah, twin brothers or twin sisters. One twin is in England having a heart attack, or he's having some serious illness, and the other twin is in Delhi saying, oh, something's wrong with my brother. I feel very bad. They write about these phenomena. Oh, there's something wrong with my brother. I don't know. I can't eat. I can't eat food. I don't feel good. My heart is hurting. He's okay. He's healthy, good shape. And then he gets a call. Oh, your twin brother is in a car accident. He's in bad shape. So they had these soul, these connections, some souls like this, like ESP, telepathy, etc. So this is heart telepathy. The mantris are one with the heart of Radharani, because they are so much dedicated to her service. Whatever she feels, they feel. Whatever Radharani thinks, the mantris think. Whatever Radharani experiences, they experience. So this is all giving us the background of this mantri tattva. They feel so much thrill. The bhavas. Bhavas means the ecstasies, the rasas, the loving raptures, divine raptures that Radharani feels when she's... It's called prem samlap. Prem samlap. Samlap means conversation. When Radha and Krishna are lounging around. When they're relaxing on a flower bed in the Radhakund, and they're simply having some small talks, some riddles. Krishna will say one riddle, and Radharani will counter it with another riddle, or some funny poem. And Krishna will say, oh, look at that monkey in that tree. He's so funny. Look how he's shaking the tree. Ah, 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 ah. Because the monkeys are always doing the same business. When Radha and Krishna were here, the monkeys were also here. And they would go up in the tree And then they would take the, you know how the male monkeys, they grab the light poles or trees, and they shake, tong, 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 tong. So they were doing, and Krishna, oh, Radharani, look at that monkey. And she said, look, oh, Sham, look, something fell. And what was that? I don't know. What was that? So maybe he shook and some fruit fell from the tree. And then Krishna makes a poem about that fruit falling from the tree. And then Radharani, this is like, it's called Prem Samlap. Just some beautiful, sweet talks between the two beloveds, Priya Priyatam and Nikunja Radhakund. And so the Mandris, meanwhile, they're outside Nikunj. And they're just looking, and they may be waiting with some fruits, a fruit tray or some scented water, scented with camphor or some rose petals or different seasonal flowers. And sometimes they can put some herbs, some clove or different spices in to make spicy water and different things. And they're waiting for opportunity to offer this. And they're hearing this conversation, and they're enjoying like anything, they're relishing. It's so sweet, it's so wonderful. So this is a special privy of Radharani's Mandris, or Radhasneha Adhika, and relishing this special bhava called Tat-Tat Bhavichami. This is the mood of the Mandris of Radharani. So we'll continue more tomorrow with this purport. Is there any questions? Hare Krishna.